friends, I'd like to talk a little bit about joy as a quality of heart that we cultivate and cultivating it in our daily lives, and also having some time for some discussion, reflection, questions, if you have. So there are many ways that we can think about joy. Last night in the guided meditation, I mentioned that, you know, there's the joy of just pleasant experiences, and those can be really nourishing for the heart. The beauty that we see around us, the woods, the flowers, when they start blooming, bring joy. Gratitude brings joy for what we have in our lives, what supports our lives. Joy is talked about in Buddhist practice as joy that resonates with the well-being and happiness of others. So that is mudita specifically, and it's one of the four Brahma Viharas, which we've been talking about. Also there's joy that arises from practice, from coming back to the present moment, being mindfulness contains within it in each moment of coming to the present moment and letting go of grasping and resisting and just being with an open heart in the present moment. There's joy and equanimity and kindness, compassion. So all of these can arise just by coming back to the breath, coming back to the body, awakening in a moment to our lives and not being pulled in reactivity. And there's the joy we cultivate in practice, and there's a quality of joy from a deep resting in awareness, which there are subtle distinctions of how joy unfolds in our practice. So with different nuance of meaning. So we can cultivate the roots of joy. Joy emerges from the conditions of our lives and how we respond, and how we practice, how we bring the factors, the path factors, into our daily lives. So I'm going to just talk about a few of these. So some of the roots that set in place the conditions for joy to arise. First of all, one is generosity. And as Bibiana mentioned earlier in her talk on generosity, or dana, it was often the first teaching that the Buddha gave when somebody would arrive and say, "I'd like to practice with you." He would teach about dana and sila, ethics. And so generosity is so important because, first of all, it reverses the sense of grasping we have, that we need more for me, for myself, that somehow more will make us feel happier, you know, and our capitalist ethos in our society really drives that, you know, this will make you feel good, you know, and you see somebody driving in a convertible with their hair flowing in the wind, and yeah, that's going to make me happy. And of course, as if we are mindful, if we're awake, we realize that, begin to realize that things don't make us happy. Things have their own dukkha, and cars need to be maintained, and hair that blows in the wind gets really tangled. This whole grasping, this cycle, it's really samsara, this cycle of, you know, like more and more this hamster wheel that we're on, more different new stuff. And so generosity reverses that sense of grasping. It helps to release a fear of insufficiency. I don't have enough. You know, will I have enough if I share what I have? And this competitiveness for resources. But the Buddha said that generosity gives joy in three ways. You know, there's the thinking of the giving, so the arising of this kind of spontaneous movement of the heart to share something, to give something, and that's a joyful movement of the heart. Very often then we come back and second guess and say, but wait, no, what if? And Joseph Goldstein has talked about that a lot in his talks about how, you know, we then, you know, step back after that, and it's and he encourages us to really go with the first thought, you know, as teacher in the Shambhala, Chögyam Trungpa would say, first thought, best thought. So, like, yeah, let me share that. So, and then the Buddha said there's also joy in the actual act of giving and in the recollection of the giving. Like as we think back and we think, yeah, that really helped somebody, or it was good for me to share that, you know, so there's a joy in that, and it's good to nourish the joy. It's good to take in the joy. Rick Hansen talks about that so much in his Neurodharma teachings, that we should take in the good, take in the joy, take in the generosity. And the Buddha, also along with Rick Hansen, talks about that in as joy arises in our practice, to really take it in, let it nourish us. Sila, the second, also one of the, you know, the foundation teachings that the Buddha would give normally when people would come and ask for teachings, this practice of non-harming, it's giving a gift of safety. So as we practice in our daily lives, we can, you know, think about those five precepts of not harming, not taking life, and of supporting life, of not taking what's not freely offered, being generous. I think taking what's not freely offered is something that is really important, because, you know, sometimes we just rationalize to ourselves, you know, oh, well, you know, I can take this. It doesn't matter. It's just a little thing. You know, whether it's taking office supplies or, a little example, you know, and this is, I think, how ethics is practiced in daily life, is just the little things that give us a sense of integrity. I was not feeling well. I was having digestive issues, and Sandy very kindly gave me a box of crackers to have, because there were some foods that weren't agreeing with me. And so as I was packing up, you know, so the thought crossed my mind, did she give me these? to take home, or should I give back what's left? I thought, no, she gave them to me to help me in a certain circumstance, and I should give back what's left. So little things like that that just come out up day to day, moment by moment. You know, was this offered to me in a way that I should take it, or should I check it out? You know, should I say, is it okay if I use this, or is it okay if I you know, take this home, or whatever it is? It just comes up, and I find that as I take ethics practice, you know, really as a deep part of my practice, it's embedded in my body. And it's one of these things that, you know, just checking into the body and saying, oh, does the body feel subtly contracted around this? Should I think about it? Should I ask myself about it, whether this is harmful or not? So another way that we can cultivate joy in our lives is our sitting practice. So just the degree to which we can collect our minds, collect our energies, tune into the heart, settle the agitation in the body, really caring for ourselves and for our benefit and for the benefit of others, brings a quality of joy, because it helps us to let go. I mean, really, meditation is a practice of letting go. And it helps us to let go of these things that we carry around in the body. We can, you know, as we feel in our meditation practice, as we recognize that we're holding something, that something is kind of unsettled or contracted, and we can bring gratitude to the body for holding it, for taking care of it for us, and then we can address it wisely in our meditation practice by just recognizing that we're holding something that we don't need to and letting it go, or by recognizing that there's something that we need to address, to ask forgiveness, to come back to somebody, to resolve something. These things kind of reveal themselves in our meditation practice as we quiet the mind. And it's not that we should then think about them in meditation, but we can just receive the insight or receive the discernment and then put it aside and come back to the practice of being present to ourselves. So joy follows naturally upon calming the body and mind. In the Anapanasati Sutta, as I've mentioned, the simple, you know, opening to the body, feeling the whole body, and calming the body, then leads naturally into the next teaching, which is breathing in, I experience joy. Breathing out, I experience joy. Breathing in, I experience happiness. Breathing out, I experience happiness. Piti, sukha. So love, I've talked a lot about love. There's a line from Rumi. When you do things from your soul, you feel a river moving in you, a joy. So I think doing things from your soul is really living living from that rootedness in love, in truthfulness. And then another poem from Hafiz about living from love. And it came to me in one of the groups as people were talking about their experience. So Hafiz is a Rumi Persian poet, I think 12th century Hafiz, also Persian, I'm not sure. And around the same time as Rumi. Admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, love me. Of course, you do not do this out loud. Otherwise, someone would call the cops. Still, though, think about this. This great pull in us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with a full moon in each eye that is always saying with that sweet moon language what every other eye in this world is dying to hear? It's so that sense of that full moon, which is always used as kind of reflecting with purity back the light. So that full moon in each eye, which knowing how we all so want to be loved, to be received, can offer that generously. And that brings joy. And it's something that we can allow ourselves to be imperfect. We can't do that all the time, but it can be an aspiration. So gratitude. We've talked about gratitude a little bit, but just to highlight it here, we tend to look at what we lack. I don't have this, I need this. And so gratitude brings us into radical presence with life, with a sense of wonder, a sense of presence in this moment, a sense of fullness, the fullness of the moment. And that helps us to step into joy. And simplicity. Simplicity, I think, is so important. It has to do with letting go of our preferences. The food is not exactly what we want, or it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too this, too that, too rushed, too much time, and different perceptions always have different discontents. And so we can get caught up in the discontent and the pull of our preferences. And so just being simple, and letting go. It's very connected to gratitude. It's in being present with the enoughness of this moment. All of these are ways that we can bring a quality of joy into our lives, just weaving it through. And of course, joy comes and goes. It's not something that we, any of us, can expect to experience all the time. To notice when it arises, and to know that we have the capacity to really nourish the roots of joy in the conditions that we cultivate in our lives. I want to end with this poem, which I used to read a lot on retreats, and I haven't read it for many years, but it just was coming back to me this retreat. And it's called Hokusai Says by Roger Keyes. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. Hokusai was a Japanese artist, in the 19th century, and some of his watercolors are very famous, like the tsunami wave or the Mount Meru, I think. Some of these Japanese watercolors, which have become kind of iconic. So Hokusai says, Hokusai says, look carefully. He says, keep looking, stay curious. He says, there is no end to seeing. He says, look forward to getting old. He says, keep changing. You just get more who you really are. He says, get stuck, accept it. Repeat yourself as long as it's interesting. He says, keep doing what you love. He says, keep praying. He says that every one of us is a child. Everyone is ancient. Every one of us has a body. He says that every one of us is frightened. He says that every one of us has to find a way to live with fear. He says everything is alive. Shells, buildings, people, fish, mountains, trees. Wood is alive. Water is alive. Everything has its own life. Everything lives inside us. He says, live with the world inside you. He says, it doesn't matter if you draw or write books. It doesn't matter if you saw wood or catch fish. It doesn't matter if you sit at home and stare at the ants on your veranda or the shadows of the trees and grasses in your garden. It matters that you care. It matters that you feel. It matters that you notice. It matters that life lives through you. Contentment is life living through you. Joy is life living through you. Satisfaction and strength is life living through you. Peace is life living through you. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look, feel. Let life take you by the hand. Let life live through you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.